Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied, since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too.
These three words, looking unto Jesus. It's all the farther we're going to get today with that for the most part. And we'll explore what it means as Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith next week, Lord willing. We'll look at that. But I, you know, there's some things that that I want.
Some may walk on mountains and drink that mountain air. Others are not suited to stay for long up there. It seems I've seen more valleys lately in my pilgrim way. The sun is often hiding and the clouds are often gray. Oh, I've not seen the sunset from the mountaintop. Shine from up where it's bright. mountaintop cannot be far.
Amen. Good song and much needed. For the pilgrim that is traveling on and struggling with some things in this life. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand why God allows some things to happen to come our way. But, you know, we don't appreciate the mountains until we go through the valleys. And we have a greater appreciation when we've traversed the dark valleys. And, you know, it's something when I can tell you from experience that those dark valleys are the hardest times of your life, but you learn more in the dark sometimes than you do in the light of prosperity and when things are going great. We tend to learn more through the struggles and the trials and everything else. So, you know, keep on climbing, amen? That's a good song and good truth to that. That's what you have to do. You just have to keep going. When Paul said, none of these things move me, he didn't mean that it didn't affect him at all. He just meant that it wasn't going to move him from the will of God, from continuing on for the Lord, that he was going to continue on for the Lord no matter what the trial was, no matter what what hurdle he had. In his way, he wasn't going to let him move him from the path that God had put him on. And that's really what it's all about. It isn't the fact that we're not going to be alarmed, or it's not going to trouble us, or we're not going to have challenges or fears. It just means that, you know, through all of those things, we are more than conquerors in him that loved us. Amen? So remember that. And boy, do I have a lot to bring you today here. Let's see. Let me see here. I'm going to go to, you know, it's interesting. I have a ton of information from before that I used. Let's see, here it is. Yeah, this is what I wanted. I've got a ton of information from before, so you got to bear with me too, but I've got some new information that Pastor Mike sent me, actually, some extra things that we're going to talk about today too as well. So I'm going to kind of merge those together with some things that you know, him and I kind of bounce things back and forth sometimes about different things, and it just so happened that, you know, we got to talking about this, and it's amazing that you know, he's like, oh, I've got some extra information on that, and I was like, well, great, I'll take it, I'll look at it, and it goes along with, and I hope it's not redundant, I hope I don't repeat it again here, because I have it in my notes from before, from years ago as well. But see, these things bear repeating again, because the cycle goes around and around, and it turns over again, and you have an all new bunch of people that are listening, and you have a bunch of new people that are being seduced by the false notions of the Sabbath keeping SDA and their lies. And really what we have to do is, on Monday, we examined everything that she said, not everything, but a lot of things from this study Bible that is the SDA Ellen G. White study Bible. And we examined all those passages, not all of them, but a great number of them that dealt with the Sabbath, that she says that, you know, refusing to worship on the Sabbath or worshiping the Lord on the first day of the week is the mark of the beast. Well, that's not scriptural. She made that up. And I'm going to tell you how she made it up today. And it matters. Listen to me. If you're going to try to get me to believe something that's not historically been held by the churches down through the ages, that is found in my Bible, that is not found in my Bible, you're gonna have to prove it. Then I want to know, okay, where'd you get it from? Now, ultimately, we know, where it comes from. ultimately we know, hang on, I'm peeking through here because I'm expecting a package here. So I'm not trying to like be rude here, but I'm expecting a package to come here today. So if I stop in the middle of this broadcast, don't think it's because I'm going to get some Cheetos or something. I'm actually looking for a package that's supposed to arrive today. So I know this isn't professional, but I have absolutely never claimed to be a professional. Besides, those guys are all rich and they're on TV. I'm on YouTube. Anyway, so I'm looking. So if I get up and go jump to somewhere, I'm expecting a package, and I'll probably end up opening that package for you live right here on OPBC Live. It is my shirt. It's supposed to come today. So if it does, I'll do one of those trendy YouTube unboxing videos. I'll be really cool, like those guys that unbox like everything, like pizza and stuff. Right? I'll be one of those guys. Wouldn't that be something? But, oh, I don't have to do it. It's just kind of fun. That's why I want to do it. Because it's just me and I'm different. Anyway, so we're talking about Ellen G. White here. And if somebody's going to teach me something and tell me, you got to follow this. And if you don't follow this, I'm telling you, man, you're going to hell. Well, I want to know, okay, where'd you get it from besides hell? Where'd you get it from? I want to know where you got it from. Do you ever wonder that? Don't you want to know where somebody got it from? Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to read her quotes today. You can check them out. I'll give you the references to them. You go look them up. So you think, oh, Pastor Cooley's making it up. No, he's not making it up. You go to the references. You go right ahead and go check them out. I know, Mike. I probably won't get it. I'll probably get it Friday. Black Friday. Why has it got to be black? Why can't it be White Friday? See, those kind of jokes make people mad. I forgot. You're not supposed to joke about being white or black or anything else. You can't talk about that stuff. Right? Because then you're automatically a racist if you say something like that. People need to really, like, loosen up a little bit when it comes to that stuff, man. We're all just animated dirt in a different color. Anyway. If it wasn't for the breathing in of God into a new creature, making us the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, man, we'd still be a bunch of dirt. That's all our shells are here, is a bunch of dirt anyway, a bunch of animated dirt. We did get a bunch of snow, and I went out in my Jeep, and I played in the snow a little bit. You can be purple. I don't care what color you are, man. You'll be my friend. I don't care. Now, if you're a gray alien, then we're going to draw the line there, okay? We're going to have a problem with that. I've been watching too many of Pastor Mike's videos. I'm not down with these gray aliens, man, popping up. Anyway. But anyway, it's okay to have a little bit of fun. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, that's for sure. Anyway, so I don't know. I think Carl's purple. I don't know about you, Carl. I don't know. Carl's in a different town like every day. I think he's like some kind of gangster. I think he's going to like deliver me some NASA slippers with like an injection of strychnine in them or something weird. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Maybe. Maybe I am. Maybe. Anyway, so Ellen G. White, oh boy. Do we have a lot to say about Ellen G. White? That was kind of weird. Anyway, that broadcast went a little weird there for a minute. Ellen G. White, where did she get it from? So I asked that question. Let me ask it again to make sure everybody on the live stream over here is paying attention. Isn't it important for us to know, kind of, if you're going to tell us that our eternal destiny depends on what you're saying, I kind of want to know where you got it from. Then I'm going to look at it and say, okay, where'd it come from? All right, well, let's start it out here. Let's see here. Let me see. Whoops, that's funny. I've got my Mac out here because I'm computer illiterate and trying to figure out how to get my notes on this stinking Windows. I got to upload them to the cloud and then transfer them over. Sorry, I'm a Mac person. I can do everything from my iPhone, from my wristwatch, from like everything. And when I get on here, it's like, okay, this is weird. All right, so let me go here. Hello. Okay. Now, let's show you a picture. Here we go. Who wants a t-shirt of this lady? Anybody want a t-shirt of that? This is my preacher. Hey, everybody. This is my preacher. How would you like to say that? Like, how would you like to be the guy? How would you like to be the guy to be like, hey, man, who's your pastor? Who's your preacher? Oh, it's this lady right here. Who wants that to be there? Look. Here you go. Oh, it's that lady. Who says that with any joy and like, yeah, that's my preacher? Right? So, look, this is, I would like to wake up one day and be like, hey, give us a vision. This was her head injury. Joshua would love this right now. This was Ellen G. White's head injury. All right, I don't want to know. But typically, you know, the devil, one thing I've noticed about witches and other people like that, one of the things that I've noticed is that people that study witchcraft, when we were out at Halloween, we were out preaching, these weird little satanic or Luciferian witches came up to us. And don't you like this? Biblical proof Ellen G. White was a true messenger of God. Would that be from the Bible? No, probably not. Probably not. Hey, and look at this. You sit down, buddy. She's standing up. She's the man. Right? So, you're the man. How long would it have taken me to get kicked out of the SDA movement? Oh, that's right. They wouldn't even let me in. Why? Because I would have been like, are you guys all gay? Look, first of all, it's almost like this. And I know nobody likes, or a lot of people don't like it when I talk like this. And that's okay. It's called testosterone. It's called being a man. And it's okay to be a man. All right? It's okay to be a man. And it's okay to tell people the way it is when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, in the Bible, is there not a man among you? Right? So think about this. So here we have this women and prophecy, they go hand in hand. Women with false prophetic gifts are absolutely scripturally all over the Bible, those kind of witches. Jezebel being the main one. No question she was a woman. Some of the most deceptive movements have always been started by women. Look it up. Check it out. They don't have to be trannies. They're just women. All right, anyway. But think about this. Here she is, and here you are as a man. Does that not... I have a question for you. Does that not trip your trigger, like, right away? Like, wouldn't that be the first sight of, okay, I'm not going to that church? Like, these people all follow a woman. That, you would think, would just turn your stomach right away if you had any bit of manhood in you, from a man's standpoint, that is. Okay? So, we'll leave you with Ellen G. White here, and we're going to start talking about Ellen here, okay? All right. Here we go. Where did she get it from? Now, this is taken from her early writings, page 32 and 33, edition 1907. And here she says, "We felt an unusual spirit of prayer, and as we prayed, the Holy Ghost fell upon us. We were very happy. Soon I was lost to earthly things and was wrapped in a vision of God's glory. I saw an angel flying swiftly to me." Okay. "Saw an angel flying swiftly to me. He quickly carried me from the earth to the holy city. In the city I saw a temple which I entered. I passed through a door before I came to the first veil." Already getting super creepy. Already getting super creepy. "This veil was raised and I passed into the holy place. Here I saw the altar of incense, the candlestick with seven lamps, and the table on which was the showbread. After viewing the glory of the holy, Jesus raised the second veil, and I passed into the Holy of Holies." Oh boy. "In the holiest I saw an ark. On the top and sides of it was purest gold. On each end of the ark was a lovely cherub, and its wings spread out over it. Their faces were turned toward each other, and they looked downward. Between the angels was a golden censer. Above the ark where the angels stood was an exceeding bright glory that appeared like a throne where God dwelt. Jesus stood by the ark, and as the saints' prayers came up to him, the incense in the censer would smoke, and he would offer up their prayers with the smoke of the incense to his Father. In the ark was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of stone which folded together like a book. Jesus opened them, and I saw the Ten Commandments written on them with the finger of God." Here we go. Okay, hang on. Hang on for the ride. Here we go. "On one table were four and the other six. The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six. But the fourth..." Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Are you ready for kooky, demon-filled, crazy lady talk? Because here it comes. This is a warning. Kooky, devil-possessed, crazy woman ready to give you a vision from the devil. "The four on the first table shone brighter than the other six, but the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, showed above them all. For the Sabbath was set apart to be kept in honor of God's holy name. The holy Sabbath looked glorious. A halo of glory was all around it. I saw that the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. Holy buckets, she's a witch. I saw the Sabbath commandment was not nailed to the cross. If it was, the other nine commandments were, and we are at liberty to break them all, as well as to break the fourth. Oh boy. I saw that God had not changed the Sabbath, for he never changes. Let's stop here for a second. Are you ready for this? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Number one, God is immutable and he does not change. But his dealings with mankind down through the centuries has changed. And I know that because I'm not sacrificing lambs and bringing turtle doves to the temple. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I don't sacrifice lambs anymore because Jesus is the Lamb of God. I saw the commandment, the Sabbath commandment was not, she said, and I saw that God has not changed the Sabbath. Now, this is how witches talk, okay? God doesn't change. God doesn't change, so God never changed anything. Well, God doesn't change because God is immutable. His nature never changes. But I could show you where God repented of the evil that he was going to do to people, and he did it not. That does not have any bearing on the nature of God changing. God is holy, and he is inherently holy, and his holiness never changes. But when somebody uses talk like this, see, they're speaking with a forked tongue and they're deceiving the hearts of the simple. People that have not looked into this will take that and say, well, see, God doesn't change, therefore. Danielle, you ask a question. How is Ellen a witch? Well, hang on and you're gonna find out. But the Pope, she said, had changed it from the seventh to the first day of the week, for he was to change times and laws. I saw that the Holy Sabbath is and will be the separating wall between the true Israel of God and unbelievers, and that the Sabbath is the great question to unite the hearts of God's dear waiting saints. Where does it say that in my New Testament that the Sabbath is God's great sign to his church? Says it nowhere. By the way, I thought the mission that we had from God was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not go into all the world and preach the Sabbath to every creature. I thought we were preaching Christ, not the Sabbath. Me think she had big devils in her. Big, 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 scary, spooky devils in her. She said, then I was shown a company. This is her early writings, page 37, edition 1907. Then I was shown a company who were howling in agony on their garments. On their garments was written in large characters, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. I asked who this company were. The angel said, these are they who have once kept the Sabbath and have given it up. I heard them cry with a loud voice, we have believed in thy coming and taught it with energy. And while they were speaking, their eyes would fall upon their garments to see the writing, and then they would wail aloud. I saw they had drunk of the deep waters and fouled the residue of their feet, trodden the Sabbath underfoot, and that is why they were weighed in the balance and found wanting. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Trodden the Sabbath? No. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? The Bible says it is what? It is Christ who they are in trouble for trotting under the foot. Trotting underfoot the Son of God. It is not the Sabbath. Do you understand what she's doing here? She's coming out pious and holy and all of these things in order to swerve people. Look what she said. They're not found weighed in the balances and found wanting because of the Sabbath day. It's because they trodden underfoot the Son of God. It's a false gospel. And by the way, somebody asked me something, and I'm going to answer it for you right now. Why is she a witch? Well, I'll tell you something. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Now, I just showed you the Bible doesn't say what she said. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, ooh, she saw an angel, so we automatically have to believe her. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. For everybody that's listening to this, you pay attention. She's a Jezebel. That's exactly what she is. And if you don't know what you're talking about and you don't understand that this is a witch, then maybe you should be quiet and you should learn something first before you question the preaching and teaching of God's word. When I'm showing you Bible and I'm showing you what she's saying, I think you better look at what the Bible says and not what that woman says as being authority. Because that's a Jezebel. She is a Jezebel. What does it say here? Am I supposed to believe it because, well, some angel gave her a vision? Oh, well, because some angel gave her a vision, I'm supposed to believe it. No, I'm to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. I'm not to just follow this lady because she said some angel came unto her and told her something. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So she says an angel showed her something. Okay, well, am I to try that or just believe it? Because she has a pious. Because she has a pious outlook, I'm supposed to believe it? Listen, she is the same as those charismatics. She is a charismatic. She was a charismatic. And she had the same devils in her that those charismatics have in them. And that's the truth. And you want to know why silly women laden with sins get seduced by that spirit? Because they want that feeling and emotion too. They want that hippity hoppity. They want that feeling. They want to be able to do that when all it is rebellion, confusion, and nonsense. But they want to be able to do that because obedience is not enough for them. They want to speak and they want to lead. And that's what the problem is. Exactly, Tamara. It's exactly the same. It's the same as the angel Moroni, the angel Macaroni that came to him and told him, Joseph Smith, that he had a new gospel for you. Man, I got something new for you. Yeah, you can take that and go bury it with the dung. Let's see here. Now, that's that one. Let me go to the next one. I got a lot to bring you today. And I'm sure I'm going to make friends and influence people. And before you say it, I know what you're thinking. Now, Pastor, you just got to be a little more softer on this heresy. You got to be a little more softer on it. I can't be soft on it. It's deceptive. It's deceptive and it's dangerous. Okay. So you ready for some more? They always have this like spirit, like you said, who said that? Let me see. Let's see. Somebody just said that. Oh, yep. All charismatics always get their start with some vision. That's right. Okay. If you want to get me off the Bible, here's what you tell me. Well, I had a vision. I had a spirit talk to me. I saw angels. Right? Well, when I was on dope, I saw a lot of things. Right? It's dangerous. Yeah, it's not what you preach, but how you preach. Yeah, right. I've heard that my whole ministry. Calm down, preacher. Shut up, preacher. Don't talk so loud, preacher. Don't yell, preacher. Don't do that. Come on, just calm down and don't get so excited about everything. I've heard that my whole ministry. I ain't listened to a bit of it, but I've heard it. Next, early writing edition, 1907. You ready? Page 15. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm, and from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band, and they shouted, Alleluia! Others rashly denied the light behind them and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. The light behind them went out, leaving their feet in perfect darkness, and they stumbled and lost sight of the mark and of Jesus and fell off the path down into the dark and wicked world below. Soon we heard the voice of God like many waters, which gave us the day and hour of Jesus' coming. Oh, so Ellen, she knew the day and hour of Jesus' coming, just so you know. She had some special revelation. So she knew the day and hour, and what you losers don't know. Bunch of losers. You don't know the day and hour, but Ellen knows the day and hour. right? Here we go. The living saints, 144,000 in number, knew and understood the voice, while the wicked thought it was thunder and an earthquake. When God spoke the time, he poured upon us the Holy Ghost, and our faces began to light up and shine with the glory of God, as Moses did when he came from Mount Sinai and saw the great city with 12 foundations and 12 gates, three on each side, and an angel at each gate. We all cried, "The city, the great city, it's coming. It's coming down from God out of heaven." And it came and settled on a place where we stood. Then we began to look at the glorious things outside the city. There I saw most glorious houses that had appearance of silver, supported by four pillars, set with pearls, most glorious to behold. These were to be inhabited by the saints, and each was a golden sheaf. I saw many of the saints go into the houses, take off their glittering crowns, and lay them on the shelf. You just take off my crown and put it on this shelf over here. It's true, I saw it. Then go out in the field by the houses to do something with the earth. Not as we have to do with the earth here. No, no. A glorious light shone all about their heads, and they were continually shouting and offering praises to God. Page 15. Boy, she has some crazy visions, didn't she? I saw another field full of kinds of flowers, and as I plucked them, I cried out, "They will never fade." Next, I saw a field of tall grass, most glorious to behold. It was living green and had a reflection of silver and gold as it waved proudly to the glory of King Jesus. Then we entered a field full of all kinds of beasts, the lion, the lamb, the leopard, and the wolf, all together. There were some wolves there, all right. Oh, I believe it. And some lions there, too. I believe that, too. We passed through the midst of them, and they followed on peaceably after. Then we entered a wood. Mm-hmm. I bet you did. Not like the dark woods we have here. No, no. But light, and all over glorious, the branches of the trees moved to and fro, and we all cried out, "We will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." We passed through the woods, for we were on our way to Mount Zion. Oh, boy. Page 18. As we were traveling along, we met a company who also were gazing at the glories of the palace, the place. I noticed red as a border on their garments. Their crowns were brilliant. Their robes were pure white. I'm sorry, but the only thing I can think of when she's saying this, does anybody hear this in their mind right now? You probably don't, but... I can't help it. The only thing that's going on in my mind right now is they're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. I'm sorry. That's all I can think of with this lady. That's it. I just said the Wizard of Oz song keeps going. They're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Because of the marvelous things he does. It's just what I think of when she says that. It's what it sounds like. I just see her like skipping along the road there on the following the yellow brick road, and like hanging munchkins are everywhere, and like little trolls and the doleful creatures. That's just what it seems like. Anyway, it's probably just me. Don't be alarmed. Page 20. After I came out of vision, everything looked changed. A gloom was spread over all that I beheld. Oh, how dark this world looked to me. I wept when I found myself here and felt homesick. I had seen a better world, and it spoiled this for me. Okay. I want to stop there. That's page 20 of her works. Now, listen, here's the thing. If any of you have listened to Pastor Mike's recent broadcast on that Betty lady and her visiting the one this sounds exactly the same. She saw bright lights. She went through doors. You know, she went through veils. She went through all these things. And then when she came back, she didn't want to be here. Right? And by the way, I'm not endorsing watching Wizard of Oz. It's a wicked movie. But so is this. And that's the point. I'm comparing the two are the same. Okay? I don't watch Hollywood movies. I don't do any of that. But my point is that it just reminds me of it. It's the same thing. Right? So think about that. Page 22. All these things weighed heavily upon my spirits. Oh, really? How many of those do you have, Ellen? And in the confusion, I was sometimes tempted to doubt my own experience. Okay. While at family prayers one morning, the power of God began to rest upon me, and the thought rushed into my mind that it was mesmerism, and I resisted it. Immediately, I was struck dumb, and for a few moments was lost to everything around me. I then saw my sin in doubting the power of God, and that for so doing, I was struck dumb, and that my tongue would be loosed in less than 24 hours. Okay. So you hear what she said? And see, her visions led her away from the Bible into her own interpretations of the scriptures. She ignored what God's word says, and it led her to believe something that was contrary to the word of God. So she let that spirit and those visions interpret scripture. Can I help you with something? Here we go. Big ugly mug alert. Now listen, here's what I'm going to help you with. Do not allow your experiences, any dream you have, gas you have late at night, or anything else interpret the Bible for you. The Bible interprets itself. Don't let your experiences and some vision and too many tacos too late at night that give you bad indigestion and gas interpret the scriptures for you. That's not the way you interpret the Bible. You interpret it in the context in which it is written. This was a public service announcement. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. This is the one I read here, the one where the angel was floating around. She said, "The Lord gave me the following view in 1847 while the brethren were assembled on the Sabbath at Topsham, Maine." Well, while the brethren were assembled, God gave me this vision. Sure he did, lady. Which God? The God of this world? At the commencement of the Holy Sabbath, January 5th, 1849, we engaged in prayer with Brother Belden's family at Rocky Hill, Connecticut, and the Holy Ghost fell upon us. I was taken off in vision to the most holy place, where I saw Jesus still interceding for Israel. Page 36. When she says it like this, it reminds me of something else. Hang on, I'll show you. I got to show you what it reminds me of. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. Have some patience.
And he's telling him
about... Here's what it reminds me of.
About these encounters with Bigfoot that he's having.
the Nephilim, 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 Nephilim.
And I lifted up my sword.
Crazy. And I was like, ksh, and he was like, ksh, and I was like, ksh. I'm getting my shotgun. I'm getting my 45. Tense spiritual warfare. Give me my gun. Give me my 50 cal. Give me my Uzi, whatever I got. Just give me something. And I'm blowing these things away. So you aimed your prayer. What are you like? You got a prayer bazooka? You got a prayer missile? I aimed in strong spiritual warfare. I aimed my prayers at that side. Boom, and I fired.
This sounds like intense spiritual warfare.
He did spiritual warfare.
Prayer and strong spiritual warfare, I guess. Whatever that is.
Those are the key words. Strong spiritual warfare. I'm going to take my guns, and I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to go home. I'm going home. I'm not sitting in the woods with a bunch of whatever they are. And we did strong spiritual warfare. Strong spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And I did strong warfare. Because we're in strong spiritual warfare. Go home. If there was some Bigfoot crazy psychotic devilish creature out there that was growling and grunting and backmasking Led Zeppelin songs to me all night, I'm not going to sleep, bro.
No way, dude.
I'm leaving. I'm not sleeping with that thing there. We both did it. Tense spiritual warfare. And I saw golden roosters. When Bigfoot didn't touch me and left me alone, and I did strong spiritual warfare. Bigfoot ran.
The struggle is real. That's the truth, man. They won't be hairy. They won't stink.
Spiritual warfare.
Glory in the upper bowl. And he shoots the glory at him. Glory in the lower bowl. And he... What? Taiyukin. This Bigfoot was talking to my mind telepathically. Okay, then it was in a biological container. What are hoops?
Like, whoop, whoop.
Oh, okay, okay.
There's nothing better than that. Oh, man. Oh, I can't help it, man. So once in a while, I got to throw that out there, because when she said it, I got triggered. How did I get triggered? She said, "And we engaged in prayer with Brother Belden's family at Rocky Hill, Connecticut, and the Holy Ghost fell upon us. I was taken off in visions in the most holy place where I saw Jesus still interceding for Israel." That's page 36. Page 62. "I saw that God had messengers that he would use in his cause, but they were not ready. They were too light and trifling to exert a good influence over the flock and did not feel the weight of the cause and the worth of souls as God's messengers must feel in order to effect good." See, they must feel in order for it to work. You know, this is the danger, and this is why women are so sucked into leading these movements and cults, because of that aspect of their emotional sense and their feelings and everything else. They are subject to those things very easily, and it's very dangerous. "In a view given June 27th, 1850, my accompanying angel said, 'Whoa, stop the phone, hold the phone, wait, 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 wait a minute.' Since when do you have an accompanying angel you're just like hanging out with? Like, what's up, Gabe? That's not scriptural. That was an angel, all right, but it was a minister of Satan. See, I've got the more sure word of prophecy. I've got the word of God. I don't need an angel to tell me what God's word says. In fact, I'm to be careful, because when the angels tell me something else, let it be accursed. In the view given, says Ellen, June 27th, 1850, my accompanying angel said, time is almost finished. Do you reflect the lovely image of Jesus as you should? Then I was pointed to the earth and saw that there would have to be a getting ready among those who have of late embraced the third angel's message. Said the angel, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the charismatics. Like, do you remember this one? Let's see, hold on. Put this over here for a second. Whoops. I keep typing on the wrong thing. Hang on a second. I just remembered something.
If we open it up, it's going to ooze, and if we open it up, it's going to leak, and if we open it up,
whoops, sorry.
It's going to smell, and we open
let me,
it up,
let
it's
me back
hurt,
up.
But if
I
we
forgot.
Don't open it up, if
I know you want to hear that again, because if we open it up, it's going to ooze.
If we open it up, it's going to ooze, and if we open it up, it's going to leak, and if we open it up, it's going to smell, and we open it up, it's going to hurt. But if we don't open it up, if we don't open it up, it won't get better. It won't get better. It'll just stay bitter. And if it stays bitter, it won't get better. It'll stay bitter. It'll stay bitter and resentful and angry because nobody.
And let me tell you something. For Thanksgiving, I don't want any of you to eat bitter batter, bitter butter. Bitter batter. Bitter butter, batter, bitter. Don't eat that stuff.
Nobody told you it was going to be like this, and I don't even want to open this up in public because I know how deep it is. But the Lord, while the anointing is passing by, there's too much anointing in this room to
way too much anointing for this. Let me show you something. This is why I'm bringing you to this. Watch what he says here to this guy.
Got you. Nobody got you. They got your gift, but they never got you. They never got you. And God is touching you.
I mean, just for clarification, how come they never got any chew? If they wanted chew, why didn't they just go buy chew? I don't understand. But watch.
He's using it to touch you. He's going to make a man.
He repeats the same things like three times over and over again. He keeps saying that. Now, there's nothing wrong for clarification. I've said things twice, but I'm telling you, I'm going to say this again to you. But that's not what they're doing. They're doing a mantra of things over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because they all have the same spirit. This spooky lady right here has the same spirit as those other witches. They're all a bunch of witches. They are witches. That's what they are. I'm going to start my broadcast out like that, though. I'm going to get that quote. If we open it up, it's going to ooze. Right? Amy Gaddis, I did a video on Heidi Baker, I think. Didn't I? Yeah, I did. I did a video on her already. Okay, anyway. Maybe I didn't call it by that name. I don't remember. But I did a video on her. All right, here we go. Let's see, where was that at? That was the spirit of prayer. I lost my place, sorry. Now I can't find it, the accompanying angel one. Let me see here. Oh, here it is. So that's the accompanying. I pleaded before the angel for God to save his people who had gone astray, to save them for his mercy's sake. When the plagues began to fall, those who continue to break the holy Sabbath will not open their mouths to plead. Those excuses that they now make, page 65. Wait a minute. If God has a people and they're already his people, why do you have to plead for God to save his people when they're already saved? Oh, because they didn't keep the Sabbath, they lost their salvation. So their salvation was in keeping the Sabbath. It wasn't in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't Jesus that saved them. It was the keeping of the Sabbath that saved them. See how that works? In view in a view given June 27th, 1850. Oh, wait, I read that. My accompanying angel, that one, sorry. Page 78. I dreamed of seeing a temple to which many people were flocking. Only those who took refuge in that temple would be saved when time should close. All who remained outside would be forever lost. Page 79. Soon after this, I had another dream. I seemed to be sitting in abject despair with my face in my hands, reflecting like this. If Jesus were upon earth, I would go to him, throw myself at his feet, and tell him all my sufferings. He would not turn away from me. He would have mercy upon me, and I should love and serve him always. Just then the door opened, and a person of beautiful form and countenance entered. He looked upon me pityingly and said, "Do you wish to see Jesus? He is here, and you can see him if you desire to do so. Take everything you possess and follow me." While I was lying helpless there, scenes of beauty and glory passed before me, and I seemed to have reached the safety and peace of heaven. My strength returned, and I arose. The loving eyes of Jesus were still upon me, and his smile filled my soul with gladness. His presence filled me with holy reverence and inexpressible love. See, listen to what she says again. Page 81. My guide now opened the door. I'm telling you, it sounds like that Betty and Dreesen lady. It sounds just like her. Why? Because it's the same spirit. They are devils. My guide now opened the door, and we both passed out. That's weird. He bade me take up again all the things I had left without. This done, he handed me a green cord coiled up closely. I'm going to talk to you about that green cord in a little while. I hope I have enough time. I sincerely hope I have enough time to finish this. If I don't, then I'll just do the next part. If I don't finish all this today, I have an hour. If I don't, I will pick it up on Friday. This done, he handed me a green cord coiled up closely. This he directed me to place next to my heart. And when I wished to see Jesus, take from my bosom and stretch it to the utmost. Page 81. Page 277. I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven, descending to the earth, and again descending to heaven, preparing for the fulfillment of some important event. Then I saw another mighty angel commissioned to descend to the earth to unite his voice with the third angel and give power and force to his message. The work of this angel comes in at the right time to join the last great work of the third angel's message as it swells to a loud cry. The message seemed to be an addition to the third message. Joining it as a midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844. Page 277. Okay. And there's more. And I have more, and I have an hour, so I'll see how far I can get. If I don't finish it, we'll just add to it on Friday. That's fine. This is selected messages, page 234 to 235. An unwillingness to yield up preconceived opinions and to accept this truth lay at the foundation of a large share of the opposition manifested at Minneapolis. You don't say. Against the Lord's Message through brethren E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones. By exciting that opposition, Satan succeeded in shutting away from our people, in a great measure, the special power of the Holy Spirit that God longed to impart to them. The enemy prevented them from obtaining that efficiency, which might have been theirs in carrying the truth to the world, as the apostles proclaimed it after the day of Pentecost. The light that is to lighten the whole earth with its glory was resisted, and by the action of our own brethren has been in a great degree kept away from the world. So she's trying to say that Satan withstood her. It wasn't Satan that withstood her, that's for sure. She goes on to say in Ellen G. White, 1888 Materials, page 1353, God has given Brother Jones and Brother Wagner a message for the people. You do not believe that God has upheld them, but he has given them precious light, and their message has fed the people of God. When you reject the message borne by these men, you reject Christ, the giver of the message. Let's see. Here we go. Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventist Movement was in touch with an accompanying angel. This is Christ Our Righteousness, page 79, 1929. Here's what she says. Now, these important manifestations are ordained of God for the finishing of his work in the earth. When they begin, they mark the starting point for that closing work. That place, that hour, was reached in 1888. This is a tremendous conclusion, but what other conclusions can be reached with all the statements before us? Why should this conclusion be thought incredible? We believe the statements to be true. We have looked for their fulfillment. Our waiting for the fulfillment has been anxious and long. The fulfillment will be witnessed by someone. Why may we not see it and be in it? Should we not seek most seriously and earnestly to know what may be hindering the fulfillment in all its power? And why should we not pray for a yearning desire? Why should we not pray for a desire? Sorry, I got a phone call coming in. I got to put this on silent. Hang on a second. Good thing it doesn't interrupt that. Man, that'd be terrible. All right, let's see. So she says these, what's hindering the power. Page 330. The Holy Spirit is waiting for channels through whom to work. Satan will not always triumph. The Spirit of God will be poured out upon the church just as soon as the vessels are prepared to receive it. So what she's saying is, that you got to seek these things. You got to seek these things. You got to wait for them. You want to be a channel. Floods of spiritual power to be poured forth upon those prepared to receive it. Number 8, Testimonies, page 46. The greatest praise that men can bring to God is to become consecrated channels through whom he can work. Acts of Apostles, page 566. Okay, she goes on to say in the Ministry Magazine, August 1976, or it's recorded in there, of her 1888 experience, we sincerely regret that the element of the book Movement of Destiny, which so publicly demanded an explicit confession from those who saw the 1888 experience in a different light from that in which the leadership of the church viewed it, was allowed to slip into print. We would recommend that this element be removed from any future printings of the book. Oh, I bet you would. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in proclaiming it, the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled into the loud cry, the Review and Herald, 1908. In the manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God, they will see only something which is in their blindness they think dangerous. Something will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it. because the Lord does not work according to their ideas and expectations. They will oppose the work. Why, they say, should not be know that should not we know the Spirit of God when we have seen been in His work for so many years? See, she wants to change that. Away from the Word of God, away from the way God does it, and give you a vision. She says, the Lord has given a lesser light to lead men and women to the greater light. Now I'm going to switch over to my notes now that I have taken, because I marked some special ones here for this broadcast. And I guess the first thing I want to say to you about this in this sense is 1 John. Chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. First Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1 warns us. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there is coming a time, and we are now in it, and we have been. That work of spiritism really went on in the time of Ellen G. White. It went on all over the place. The rise of spiritism did. Familiar spirits, seeking them, all those kinds of things. Was very, very popular at that time. And we see that rise of that around that same time. So she's not the only one. Now, wayoflife.org has a lot of information, too. It has a free book on the SDA that you can download, a free booklet, I believe. And I suggest you download that. It's very good. Okay. You ready? Here we go. Lots of reading for me. Gonna make me tired and old here. All right. Finally, the visions of Hazen Foss and Ellen White were added to this heretical stew. Hazen Foss was not dealing with the God of the Bible. The gifts and callings of the true God do not change. Let's see. Where did I start this? We're not going to talk about... By the way, somebody asked me about investigative judgment. Yes, I have all the notes on that, or a bunch of notes on that. I have a bunch of notes on all those things, okay? So... But I'm not going to get into all that today because I don't have time. But we will get into it later as the Lord leads, and we'll see how far we get today. I would say a direct result of higher criticism. Somebody asked about the burnout district. That was part of it. That burnout, I think Charles Finney, I think a lot of those dudes. Something up with those dudes. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. I can only make a certain portion of people angry with me at a time, and for right now, it's this portion. But stay tuned, friends. Stay tuned. One of Ellen White's visions is offered as proof for her doctrinal changes. In the most holy place, she saw the ark that contained the law and was amazed to note that the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, we talked about this, shone above them all, for the Sabbath was set apart to be kept in honor to God's holy name. There was also shown her the change of the Sabbath. See, there was a change of the Sabbath and the significance of Sabbath observance. Well, what are the methods? What were the methods by which Ellen White received messages? Because, see, this is what's really important. this is what's really important. Included in Mrs. White's biography, Messengers to the Remnant, are 6 pages of testimony from various people who allegedly witnessed her visions. These are included in the biography to establish confidence in their supposed divine origin. Some of these testimonies are descriptions of medical examinations that were allegedly conducted during Miss White's visionary experiences. Such testimonies place a large emphasis upon the supposed fact that Mrs. White did not breathe during her visionary experiences. Okay? So she didn't breathe. Maybe she was like a guppy or a fish and she had gills. I don't know. I'm kidding, of course. Sort of. Here we go. You ready? It was a general phenomena, they say. For about 4 or 5 seconds, she seems to drop down like a person in a swoon or one having lost his strength. She then seems to be instantly filled with superhuman strength, sometimes rising at once to her feet and walking about the room. There are frequent movements of the hands and arms, pointing to the right or the left as her head turns. All these movements are made in a most graceful manner. In whatever position the hand or arm may be placed, it is impossible for anyone to move it. Her eyes are always open, but she does not wink. Her head is raised and she is looking upward, not with a vacant stare, but with a pleasant expression, only differing from the normal in that she appears to be looking intently at some distant object. Messenger to the Remnant, page 22. Methinks that would be devil possession. But let's move on. No breathing, M.G. Kellogg, M.D., said. I am quite certain that she did not breathe at the time while in vision, nor in any of several others which she has had when I was present. A lighted candle was held close to her eyes, which were wide open. Not a muscle of the eye moved. He then examined her in regard to her pulse and also in regard to her breathing, and there was no respiration. End quote. Messenger to the Remnant, page 22 to 23. Here's another thing, holding heavy Bibles. As they closed this part of the examination, she arose to her feet, still in vision, holding a Bible high up, turning from passage to passage, quoting correctly, although her eyes were looking upward and away from the book. While in vision, Ellen Harmon stepped over to a bureau upon which rested the large volume, 18-pound family Bible, picked it up, placed it in her left hand, and then, extending it at arm's length, held the closed book with ease for a half an hour. Under ordinary circumstances, she was unable to pick up this book, for she was in frail health and at the time weighed only 80 pounds. She was in no way fatigued by the experience. Ellen G. White, Messenger to the Remnant, page 23. So she took an 18-pound Bible and lifted it up like this and held it. Well, devils give superhuman strength. Absolutely they do. Listen, I got a lot of strong guys in this church, and they're not going to pick up an 18-pound Bible. I don't care how built they are, and they're not going to hold it there for that amount of time. Mrs. White's visions encouraged twisted views of Scripture, says David Cloud, to suit the SDA doctrine. The verses offered by Adventist teachers as proof texts for doctrines such as investigative judgment or Sabbath keeping in the church age in no way do so. No one studying these verses alone would arrive at the doctrines that the Adventists build from them. The perversions of Scripture were encouraged by Ellen White's visions and inspired interpretations. The following quote confirms this suspicion. So what she does, hang on, I'll get to the quote. What she does is she takes the scriptures by a vision. It's like what Joseph Smith would do. Joseph Smith would go into an epileptic fit, come out of it and be like, well, God told me I could have your wife. Which God? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of people that stop believing that. So here's what happened. Here's the quote. She breaks out into these visions, and then she has new revelations and interpretations of Scripture. Many of our people do not realize how firmly the foundation of our faith has been laid. My husband, Elder Joseph Bates, Father Pierce, Elder Edson, and others who were keen, noble, and true were among those who, after the passing of time in 1844, searched for the truth as for hidden treasure. I met with them and we studied and prayed earnestly. Often we remained together until late at night, and sometimes through the entire night praying for light and studying the word. Now stop here for a second, because let me tell you what I have seen. Charismatic people like to keep you up all night. They like to keep you up all night studying, doing all kinds of stuff and wear you down physically. I'm not talking about a preacher that preaches for an hour or two or whatever. I'm telling you, charismatics, they like to keep you up all night and break you down. It's a form of like mind control and stuff. But what they do is they break you down. They sleep deprive you. They break your mind down and get you into a place to where you're going to start seeing visions and all kinds of things. Because your flesh is so broken down and you're not strong. Again and again, these brethren came together to study the Bible in order they might know its meaning and be prepared to teach it with power. When they came to the point in their study where they said, we can do nothing more, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Are you catching this? So, Ellen tells you that, man, these guys, a bunch of losers. God couldn't show them anything. God couldn't show these guys anything. So, when all these guys were wore out, here come Big Jez. Here comes Super Jez. And Super Jez is going to fix it for you. She's got the secret. Right? She's got the secret doctrine. So she's going to bring the secret doctrine to you and give you everything that you need. Again and again, she says, these brethren came together to study the Bible in order they might know its meaning and be prepared to teach it with power. When they came to the point in their study where they said, we can do nothing more, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon me, I would be taken off in vision, and a clear explanation of the passages we had been studying would be given me, with instruction as to how we were to labor and teach effectively. I guess what I would say is, holy buckets, she's a witch. Now listen to me, friend. If you're studying the Bible and all of a sudden you fall down and you have some vision and your head's all swirling around and you come back with an interpretation about it, that's not how God reveals his word. He reveals it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God doesn't reveal his word to you through bonking you in the head, knocking you out, dropping you down, putting you into visions, rolling your eyes back in your head, and holding 18-pound Bibles in your hand. And you watch how this woman is usurping authority over these men. That's what she's doing. Thus light was given that helped us to understand the scriptures in regard to Christ, his mission, and his priesthood. A line of truth extending from that time to the time when we shall enter the city of God was made plain to me, and I gave to others the instruction the Lord had given me. That's not what God's word says. God already laid out the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Discipling them. Teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. There, you don't have some hidden mystery that, well, you see, the fourth commandment. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Till Ellen come around and she's going to show you what's up. Ellen's showing you what's up, losers. It's just a bunch of nonsense. Christ's mission, Christ already gave the Acts of the Apostles. He already gave what the mission was. We already seen how it was fulfilled, how it's to be fulfilled. We don't need anybody else to do that. We already have the answer to that. She goes on to say, during this whole time, I could not understand the reasoning of the brethren. My mind was locked, as it were, and I could not comprehend the meaning of the scriptures we were studying. This one of the greatest sorrows of my life. I was in this condition of mind until all the principal points of our faith were made clear to our minds. In harmony with the word of God, the brethren knew that when not in vision, I could not understand these matters. And they accepted as light direct from heaven the revelations given. Messenger to the Remnant, page 38 to 39, quoting Ellen G. White, Special Testimony, Series B, number 2, page 56 to 57. Are you kidding me? So, the brethren knew that the faith must be pounded out through my visions. And they knew that if I wasn't in vision, if I didn't have my secret decoder ring on, it wasn't going to happen. But if I had it on, then I got the anointing. She's just nothing but a charismatic is all she is. In this testimony, Ellen White admits that the Adventist doctrines were evolved through interpretation derived from the authority of her visions. Ellen G. White said this, soon after this, I had another dream. I seemed to be sitting in abject despair. We talked about this one. With my face in my hands, reflecting this. If Jesus were upon the earth, I would go to him. We talked about that one already. Let's see. We don't have to read that one again. Oh. Let's read this part. I heard this with joy, with unspeakable joy, and gladly gathered up all my little possessions, every treasured trinket, and followed my guide. There's the guide. He led me to a steep and apparently frail stairway. As I began to ascend the steps, he cautioned me to keep my eyes fixed upward, lest I should grow dizzy and fall. Many others who were climbing the steep ascent fell before gaining the top. Finally, we reached the last step and stood before a door. Here my guide directed me to leave all the things that I had brought with me. I cheerfully laid them down. He then opened the door and bade me enter. In a moment, I stood before Jesus. There was no mistaking that beautiful countenance. That expression of benevolence and majesty could belong to no other. As his gaze rested upon me, I knew at once that he was acquainted with every circumstance of my life and all my inner thoughts and feelings. I tried to shield myself from his gaze, feeling unable to endure his searching eyes. But he drew near with a smile and laying his hand upon my head said, "Fear not." The sound of his sweet voice thrilled my heart with happiness it had never before experienced. I was too joyful to utter a word, but overcome with emotion, sank prostrate at his feet. While I was lying helpless there, scenes of beauty and glory passed before me and seemed to have reached the safety and peace of heaven. At length, my strength returned and I arose. The loving eyes of Jesus were still upon me and his smile filled my soul with gladness. His presence awoke in me a holy reverence and an inexpressible love. My guide now opened the door. and we both passed out. He bade me take up again all things. We talked about that part. This he directed me to a place next to my heart. And when I wished to see Jesus, take it from my bosom and stretch it to the utmost. He cautioned me not to let it remain coiled for any length. So here's the green coil. This he directed me to place next to my heart. So take this green coil. And place it next to my heart. And when I wish to see Jesus, take it out from my bosom and stretch it to the utmost. From my bosom. He cautioned me not to let it remain coiled for any length of time, lest it should become knotted and difficult to straighten. I placed the cord near my heart and joyfully descended the narrow stairs, praising the Lord and telling all whom I met where they could find Jesus. Christian Experience of Teachings of Ellen G. White, 1922, page 27, paragraph 1. So what does this green coiled cord represent? And why was Ellen given this cord? What was she to do with it? She was to take it from her bosom and stretch it to the uttermost. Then she would see Jesus. Now I want to read something to you about this. Kundalini. Which means the coiled one is the invisible holy energy that yogis believe. Resides at the base of our spines, coiled just like a snake in the equally invisible energy center, the chakra, called the Mahadra, close to the coccyx. Yep, she's a witch. There is no doubt that Ellen G. White's visions added to the prophecies contained in the Bible. So who did she see? She saw the Antichrist. She saw Satan. She didn't see Christ. Jesus ain't going to hand her some coiled up snake, say, stick this in your bosom. And when you want to feel close to me, pull it out and stretch it. By the way, she said this also. She says it takes 7 days to ascend to heaven. She described tree trunks of transparent gold and fruit. This is page 14 to 20, by the way. Oh, no, let me back up. In her early writings, page 14 to 20, she says that Jesus' hair is curly and shoulder length, and that his trumpet is silver. She says that it takes 7 days to ascend to heaven. She describes tree trunks of transparent gold and fruit that looks like gold mixed with silver, and houses that have the appearance of silver supported by pillars set with pearls, and shelves of gold and fields of flowers and grass and little ones with wings, and tables of stone engraved with 144,000, and a silver table many miles in length. These additions fly in the face of God's warning in Revelation 22. She says this about Old Jerusalem. I also saw that Old Jerusalem never would be built up, and that Satan was doing his utmost to lead the minds of the children of the Lord into these things now, in gathering times. Early writings, page 75. In fact, Old Jerusalem has been built up extensively since the birth of the modern state of Israel in 1948. So that is Old Israel. So what she said is not true. Miss White, she believed that she was going to be alive when Jesus returned. Soon our eyes were drawn to the east, for a small black cloud had appeared, about half as large as a man's hand, which we all knew was a sign of the Son of Man. No, that's not a black cloud is not the sign of the Son of Man. Then there was a mighty earthquake. The graves opened and the dead came up clothed with immortality. The 144,000 shouted, Hallelujah, as they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death. And in the same moment, we were changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Early Writings, page 15 to 16. In May of 1865, Ellen White declared in a meeting in Battle Creek, Michigan, that some present would remain upon the earth to be translated at the coming of Jesus. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 131 to 132. How about this? England would attack the United States. When England does declare war, all nations will have an interest of their own to serve, and there will be general war, general confusion. This nation, the United States, will be humbled into the dust. Testimonies for the Church, page, Volume 1, page 259. Hey, what do you know? I am getting done with this. One of my most favorite false prophecies of Ellen G. White, which makes me laugh, right, is this. And I quote, "The Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was living green, and the birds there warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were of all sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. Then I was taken to a world which had seven moons. There I saw good old Enoch, who had been translated." Early Writings, page 39 to 40. "And there I was, and I saw good old Enoch. And there I was on Saturn, on Jupiter. There I was on another planet. And there I saw good old Enoch hanging out on Jupiter." He was just chilling up there on Jupiter, just having a good old time up there. "And I happened to just pass by up there, and there I saw him. I saw good old Enoch." How about that? How about her seeing good old Enoch? Huh? Don't that just get you in the gizzard right there? You wish you saw good old Enoch. Hang on a second. Let's see. Now, the danger in these writings and the things that they hold to, here's another thing. It's a fundamental of their belief system. "And there I was. I saw good old Enoch." Right? How about you? I'm trying to figure that one out. Like, what was Enoch doing on Jupiter? I mean, like, what do you suppose was up with that? What do you suppose was up with Enoch on Jupiter? Like, was he like, he was translated. He was translated, right? And here he is sitting there, and Ellen, she sees him. Yeah, that's true. This is true, Mike. I have not hung out with Enoch. And I certainly have never been to Jupiter. Right? Here's what they say, the gift of prophecy. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. This gift is an identifying mark of the remnant church and was manifested in the ministry of Ellen G. White. As the Lord's messenger, her writings are continuing an authoritative source of truth, which provide for the church comfort, guidance, instruction, and correction. They also make clear that the Bible is the standard by which all teaching and experience must be tested. That's not true. See how they double speak here? That her gift of prophecy, she was the Lord's messenger. That was her identifying mark that, you know, I already read you some of her prophecies that never came true, by the way. But they said, hey, listen, her authoritative, well, they don't know an example at all anywhere in the scriptures of a woman doing what she did and leading an entire movement. There's nowhere in the Bible that we are told to do that. In fact, what we see in the Bible everywhere is when women did that, it didn't go well, and it reflected bad on men. Right? Wow. There's a lot of spurious things that Ellen G. White taught. The three angel messages, of course. I mean, Ellen White defended. She says this, in a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. You mean like Kanye, like we're on an ultralight beam? This is a God dream? This is a God dream. We're running on an ultralight beam. Is that the same thing? To them has been entrusted the last warning from a perishing world. For a perishing world, excuse me. That's probably more accurate. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angel messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. The light we receive upon the third angel's message is the true light. See, here's the problem. Ellen was a witch. And I'll show you her Masonic ties and all the other stuff later. We're not going to get into that today. But Ellen taught things that were contrary to the scriptures. She did not teach things that were according to the Bible. All of her teachings, her spurious teachings that came up, all of them Listen to this. The Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature and brings us into communion with the Creator. In the song of the bird, the sighing of the trees, and the music of the sea, we still may hear His voice who talked with Adam and Eden in the cool of the day. And as we behold His power in nature, we find comfort. For the Word that created all things is that which speaks life to the soul. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the Sabbath calls our thoughts to nature, she says. You know, the Sabbath calls her to a lot of things, which is very strange. Let's see. Let me see another one here. Listen to this one, which I thought was kind of weird. Review and Herald, June 8th, 1897. The Sabbath is not to be a gloomy day, a day of unrest and uneasiness. Parents may take their children outdoors, in the groves, in the flower garden, and teach them that the Lord has given them these beautiful things as an expression of his love. God gave us the Sabbath so that we know that God sets us apart. God believes we are special, and he sets us apart from the rest of creation for a purpose. God tells us exactly why he gave us the Sabbath. I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us, and so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. These words are echoed of God's instructions to the Israelites from the mountain. Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. The word holy means to be set apart. God gave us the Sabbath so that we would know that God sets us apart. God believes we are special, and he sets us apart from the rest of creation for a purpose. Totally skewing the teachings of the Word of God, the plain teachings of the Word of God. Some weird stuff, man. We've read you some of these on the investigative judgment and things like that. I won't go in. I mean, I haven't read a lot of that, but I'll talk about that later. You know, but there's a lot of strange things that go along with this movement. So basically, otherwise, what you see here from her is swerving you away from Scripture, leading you away from the Word of God, and getting you to look and search after experiences. What does it sound like? Well, it sounds like this. It sounds like waiting for an anointing. It sounds like Paula White. By the way, a lot of the quotes are waiting for the latter rain. That they were the latter rain. And they were waiting for that. They're waiting for that latter rain. This was all their teachings. I submit to you that she was nothing more than a devil-possessed woman that was able to ride the tide of things and become very, 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 very popular in doing it. And these men followed her because they were seduced. They were seduced into following this woman. And follow her, they did. Like any other cult, there's a lot of truth mixed with error. There's a lot of truth mixed with error. So, anybody have any questions? Any comments? I'm pretty much done. I got through it all really quick. I'll say hi to everybody and then we'll kind of get out of here. I've got a busy day today, hoping to relax tomorrow some and all that good stuff. All right. So tell me where you're from. There's 66 people on here. Let's see. Don't forget to like, thumbs up the video, share it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, share it everywhere that you can. But if you have never signed in on Messenger here and tell me where you're from, say hi to us. Let us know how long you've been listening and let us know where you're from. That'd be great. Teresa's out trying to get a deer in the cold. Oh, by the way, you want to pray for me? I'm going out Saturday hunting early in the morning with Lee. So I'm going to go hunting too, try to get a deer. And I've never shot one myself, so you pray for me that I'll get one. I need to get one. So pray for me. I'd appreciate it. Marcia Richardson from Las Vegas, Nevada. God bless you, too. Harita, Michigan. From Indiana. From parts unknown in Indiana. Cat Lady, can you pray for people? Yeah, I pray for people all the time. From South Africa. Big Whale from South Africa. Who else is on here? Let's see. Rain Country from Rain Country. I know who you are, Rain Country. Cindy Moretti. Yep. You're from Raleigh, North Carolina. Grand Rapids, Michigan. I like Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've bought a ton of books in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I used to visit there. I used to visit Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I bought a ton of books there when I went there. Right? Bought a ton of books. I built my library in Grand Rapids, I believe it was. Yep, a lot of it, man. I went there and bought a ton. Yep. So I've been to Michigan a few times. I used to go to Mongolian Barbecue. Man, that was a long time ago. I was like, man, that's probably 20 years ago. Well, not quite that long. I've been saved 18 years, about 18 years ago, 17, 18 years ago. The world is enmity with God. Amen, Joe. I appreciate that. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for wishing us that. Yeah, it's cold enough here with snow. Raining all the time can't be that much fun. That's for sure. Yeah, I can take prayer requests. Now near Cadillac. Okay. Who else is on here? Let's see. Originally from the Philippines. Dell Griffith, shower curtain ring salesman. What is a shower curtain ring salesman? Currently living with Neil Page from Chicago. Let's see here. Who else is on here? Anybody else? Yep, Zondervan, Kriegel Bookstore. I went to Zondervan. I went to Kriegel Bookstore. I went to Baker Bookhouse. I went to all of them. Yep. Who else has never said anything? If you're on here, if you never commented on here. Go ahead and post on here and tell us where you're from. I'm curious. My friend will find out next Tuesday. She may have cancer of her kidneys. Oh, that's terrible. We'll definitely pray for her. It's a very difficult thing. Very sad. Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Dale Griffin was John Candy. I don't know what that is. Hmm. Yes, the world is getting dark. Hello from Northwest Indiana. Hi, Micah from Northwest Indiana. Melissa Foster, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family from Holton, Maine. All the way in Maine. Maine. I might get out there sometime. American living in Greece. Wow, what's that like? Living in Greece. That must be interesting. Must be interesting times living in a place like Greece. Bishop Charles Harris Manson. Nope, I've never heard of him. Denlinger country. Yeah, great. I'm here from parts unknown, Spookyville. That's right, Carl. We know. We know. We're watching, Carl. We're watching. You're all over the place, Carl. Never been to Greece. I've never been. I've only been to Mexico. I think that's the only. I've never been to Canada. I'd like to go to Canada someday. I got to get a passport. If you bumped into Denlinger at a store, what would you say to him? Me? I don't know. I'd probably laugh. That's probably what I'd do. I'd probably laugh. That's probably what I would do. Let's see. Who else is on here? Northwest Indiana, not Gary. Well, that's good. I drove through Gary, Indiana the other day when I was coming back from my trip a few weeks ago. I drove through Gary. It's the last place I could go to a gas station. I pulled over to the gas station and had to take my gun and take the bullets out and store them and lock the gun up and put it away because I was going into Illinois. That was a fun experience. January, you're going to be a stay-at-home wife. Praise the Lord, Teresa. That's good. Well, I know you can, Micah, but the problem is that I was stopping. If you're not stopping, then you're fine. Once you stop there and you stay there, then you can't. That's the difference. I know you can do that as you're passing through and everything. The problem is that once you stop, then they can give you a hard time. And those people don't care what the laws are. They just want to give you a charge. And I just don't want to give them any room to do it. It is stupid gun laws. They're dumb. But that's why Chicago has all the problems that it has, too. That's why Chicago's a mess. That's exactly why. Well, anyway, I'm going to get going here and get moving for the afternoon here. I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to preach on giving thanks, a spirit of thankfulness. Yep, she was a witch, big time. Anyway, so you all have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your time, and I'll be back Friday, and I'll be busy. Man, I got a lot to do. I got a lot to do this week. I just remembered that. Oh, boy. I'll have to work on that Friday. Yeah. Because Saturday I'm going to be tied up. Okay. So anyway, we'll see what the Lord does with all of that. Anyway, God bless you all. And I've got plenty to do for Friday's broadcast, so that's not a problem. I've got more. We'll see. I got finished with what I wanted to for now. I may not pick up Ellen G. White. We may do Apostasy Friday, Friday's Apostasy Watch, and all those other things, and see what's going on. All that good stuff. Anyway, God bless you all. Have a good night.